It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to be rolling through a Wednesday with y'all here. Mike Shope is out sick today. I am the Bulldog. And we're about to do something, I think, in almost 30 years of doing this gig. I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of previewing the coming week's Bills opponent with a reporter and media personality who is at a ballpark watching a wild card Major League Baseball playoff game. But we are about to do that. Will Kunkel from Fox 26 in Houston joins us to talk about the Texans and the Bills on Sunday. But he is in downtown Houston watching the Astros and the Tigers in a scoreless tie in the fifth inning. Will, good balancing act. How's it going?
Good, man. How fitting that I'm in the hometown of Simone Biles as we do both of these right now and try to figure it all out.
Very nice. Balance beam and gymnastics all in one. We've got it all for you here. So, you know, with that in mind, like, I'm here to talk to you about the Texans. You're watching the Astros and the Tigers. I've never asked someone from Houston, like, who rules the town? Or does everybody take turns? Like, you know, we're here in Buffalo, much smaller market. We've got the Bills, we've got the Sabres in the NHL. And, of course, you know, the NFL sort of just rules and lords over everything. What kind of town is Houston? Is Houston an Astros town, or is it, like, all Texans all the time?
It's an Astros town the last 7 years, and everyone else has politely bowed out of the way into irrelevancy. And now the Texans are back, so now it seems like they're king, while the fans are kind of spoiled. I don't want to say bored, but they're spoiled with what the Astros have accomplished, because there are thousands of empty seats here at Minute Maid Park today, unfortunately. And I know it's a day game. I know it's a weekday and all that, but if you wanted to be here, you could be here. It just isn't worth it in a wild card for a lot of these guys, it seems like, right now. So Texans are king. NFL's king. At least right now.
Yeah. I did see you tweeting earlier today about how cheap tickets were, so not surprised to hear. Yeah, that happens. Atlanta went through that in the mid to late 90s when they were great. I remember watching, you know, divisional round games with them, being like, wow, nobody's – what are we doing here? It happens. You know, the Bills, quite famously, in the midst of a four-straight Super Bowl run – I know we're talking like eras ago now, right, back in the 90s – did not sell out that wild card playoff game. The greatest comeback ever was not a sellout. Wasn't on TV locally against the Oilers. So fan bases can get, you know, just sort of fickle, you know, if you don't if you win or if you don't win even.
Yeah, and it's a hassle. Like, it's not easy to park, getting through traffic, cost a fortune, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, right. There's always a lot of things. And now everyone's spending their money on the Texans, especially with the Bills coming to town.
Right. And their new Stephon Diggs jerseys. How is that going? How is Diggs assimilated into life as a Houston Texan, in your view, Will?
Listen, it's been, week four? So it's been 3 weeks. No, it's been 4 weeks, so we're into week five. It's early, but so far, so good. There have been no problems. And I'm sure there was a point like that for him in Buffalo. And I don't know what was reality versus what was perceived with the issues up there. And same thing with Minnesota, because he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So when he's caught on camera being demonstrative, fans are going to take that however they want to take it. And after a while, if it grows stale with him, with the fans, then it's going to be taken negatively. So far, so good. Let's get through a whole season, and then I'll really, truly be able to answer that honestly. But I can just say from my interactions with him and my conversations with him, he's been respectful. He's talked for the most part. He's admitted he doesn't like talking to the media, but he'll do it from time to time. But when he does do it, he gives good, thoughtful answers, which is all you can ask.
I'll bet, I mean, recent history notwithstanding, I'm betting our audience here in Buffalo isn't surprised to hear that, because when Diggs got here, and really, honestly, Will, but just between us, nobody's really listening, it wasn't that rocky here. I mean, it got a little weird last spring, but, you know, to me, it wasn't like there was always, like, dissension and drama. Like, there were moments, and it could get fatiguing, but to me, it was 100% worth it. So I'm not surprised to hear that it's going well, and I would expect it to go well for a while there. I mean, he'll probably sour at some point, but for now, probably all good. On the field, How's that going? Like, is he mattering for them in that offense? Because we know, you know, the curiosity for Bills fans was, if this guy wants targets and is getting sort of phased out here, well, he's going to a team with Tank Dell and Nico Collins kind of ahead of him on the pecking order. How's that going so far?
Well, early on, week one, he was certainly the number one guy. I think he had six catches. He only had 33 yards, but he had two touchdowns. But then Nico Collins, the last couple of weeks, has been the clear number one. Tank missed last week. I reported earlier this week he expects to play, and he did practice this week. So hopefully for the Texans, they have all three of those receivers along with Joe Mixon, but he did not practice today, at least from the last reports that I saw. I wasn't at practice due to the fact the baseball game was going on. But he's been huge for CJ. He hasn't been a big hitter, but he has had, I think, three touchdowns so far in the young season. And he's had critical plays to move the chains. So he's been very big, but he hasn't been explosive like Nico Collins. And we kind of knew that was going to happen coming into the year. Like, someone was going to be the touchdown guy. Someone was going to be the volume guy. Someone was going to be the yards guy. And so far, it's kind of shaken out in that way.
I liked the fit right away there, despite how I phrased that earlier query about Collins and Dell sort of, you know, maybe outranking him, at least there for now. But where he's at in his career, Diggs, I thought if he's like a move the chains, even like a slot guy a decent amount of the time, I feel like that might be where he's at in his career. I don't know if he would agree with that, but I feel like there's still, he could extend his career by becoming a very valuable player, I think, between the hashes.
Yeah, I think where he is, he's still got a lot of meat left on that bone. He's certainly on the back half of his career, but with that being said, he's plenty good to provide plenty for a team where he can be wide receiver 1, 2, or 3 on a given week. He doesn't have to go out there and have 12 and 100 and a touchdown every single week. He can go out there and play a role, and he can be put in the slot too and get a whole bunch of catches and just be smart with his body as well to save him for later in the season. He hasn't had a whole lot of injury issues, but the point is He doesn't have to be the workhorse every single week.
Will Kunkel, Fox 26 in Houston, host of Kicking It with Kunkel. I got that off your Twitter bio. My guest here on the Western Hotline. Glad to be kicking it with Kunkel here in Buffalo, Will. We really appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
How about the 1,000-foot view right now of this team going into year two with Stroud? I mean, it was obviously a breakthrough, a playoff game win, and Stroud, you know, just rookie of the year on offense, just a tremendous arrival for him. How would you say expectations are going in? And, I mean, I guess at 3-1, they're being met, likely, I would think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you can always look at a team from afar and see what their record is. Like, oh, 3-1. Damn, that's a good team. And the Texans are. But there's a lot of stink being covered up with that 3-1 record right now. Like, that deodorant is working at that overtime because of the pre-snap penalties. They've had back-to-back-to-back weeks with double-digit penalties. The offense just hasn't clicked. The second half against the Jaguars, they had six possessions. They punted the first five. And on the final possession, they marched down the field and they scored a touchdown. Those first five possessions, they had 75 yards. That final possession, they had 69 yards. Like, that's not what we're expecting from this offense. I don't think any one of us expected the loss of Joe Mixon to hit them so badly. The offensive line is having trouble moving bodies. They're not protecting C.J. Stroud well. So there's a lot that goes into that 3-1 record than what really meets the eye, unfortunately, right now. But the defense has been kicking butt. They're getting the quarterback and applying pressure at some of the best clip in the NFL. So they're playing complementary football in the manner of the defense is helping the offense right now.
Yeah, I did not sit with this Houston-Jacksonville game on Sunday. I was kind of in and out of it, but it felt like what I saw of it, I said it this way a couple of times already here on our show, Will, it felt like Houston was like begging to get beat there, and Jacksonville just could not close the deal.
Trevor Lawrence is not good. I mean, right. That's a shocking thing to say because he misses throws. He missed two touchdown throws to guys that were wide open. I mean, yawning open, and he missed them. So the Texans should have lost that game, but that's how a season goes in the NFL. It's a game of inches, as the phrase goes, and you need things to kind of break your way to end up with 12 wins. I was doing a little study before the season, and the average Super Bowl winner, the Super Bowl winner has an average of 12 wins in the last, like, 10 years. So you don't get 12 wins just by beating the hell out of everybody. You get some things that fall your way, and, you know, right now, 3-1, 3-1.
Right, yeah. We're in the same boat over here. I mean, the Bills have looked more dominant in two of their three wins, and obviously, but got completely taken to the woodshed last Sunday night in Baltimore. In your view, Will, I think our people listening in Buffalo will be very interested in your opinion on this, because we watched Derrick Henry and Patrick Ricard just, like, blow holes in the Bills' defense on Sunday night to the tune of 270-some yards rushing. And we know Joe Mixon is there and got fed in week one. To, you know, with a load of carries and three touchdowns, offensive player of the week in week one. He's missed a couple games now. Are the Texans, with or without Mixon, I would imagine it's vastly different with him than without him, are they capable of dominating a game on the ground at this point or not?
Hell no. They haven't done it in years. They can't run the ball. Like, that was my red flag for the Texans coming into the season. Could they run the ball? And some of the guys that I had on my show were like, what, really? Like, that's your word? I was like, yeah, dude. Like, they haven't done it in years. What says they're going to do it now? And now without Joe Mixon, Cam Akers is a nice cutback type of running back, but he's not a bell cow. J.J. Taylor isn't really even an NFL caliber running back. Dare Ogunbowale certainly isn't a bell cow. Damian Pierce is also out, and he didn't have a good year last year. So they're on their third, fourth, fifth string type of running back, so they're not going to just line up and run it down your throat no matter who's behind CJ.
Yeah, obviously Stroud in the passing game has been the meal ticket with his breakthrough last year. How much do you think he's learned from year one to year two? Does he seem different at all to you moving from, you know, a breakthrough rookie season into, you know, an expectation-laden second season?
So from a personality standpoint, no, I think he's opened up a little bit more and allowed to show a little bit more comfortable showing some of his humor with us. You know, he's got such a strong faith. That's where he leans and where he falls back on as a person. And then as a player, I think he's more comfortable in moving the pocket to how he sees fit. Like, if the pocket starts to collapse one way, he can kind of make it a little bit more malleable or escape the pocket. He's using his legs a little bit more. Joe Mixon actually challenged him to use his legs more this season. And unfortunately, he's had to just to stay alive. So he's more of a scrambler than a runner, like kind of like Steve Young, Burt, Mark Brunell were back in the day. Like, they'll keep plays alive, but they're always looking to pass. So I think those are the two biggest differences so far.
Will Kunkel from Fox 26 in Houston on the Western Hotline with us for a few more minutes, previewing the Texans and the Bills Sunday at 1 o'clock from Houston. You mentioned the pass rush, and when I've sat with the Texans so far this year, again, for all the attention the offense gets, and of course in Buffalo we're focused on Diggs and what he means to that passing game, boy, the ends there with Hunter and Anderson have really, really stood out to me.
Absolute dogs. Like, those guys create pressure. They create hell, even if they don't get to the quarterback. And oftentimes they don't get to the quarterback, but the quarterback's got to step up and the defensive tackles get some credit. Tim Settle had two sacks a couple of weeks ago. I think it's his first career sack in his career, at least double sack game in his career. So that's the type of defensive line that you're working with. And then the linebackers have been better than we thought coming into the year. And the secondary is pretty dang good. They've had some blown coverages with some rookies back there with Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter. But other than that, I think the defense really bowed up against the Jaguars when they had to and made some big-time plays.
Yeah, like how do the Bills want to attack the Texans? Like, where's the weakness there?
I think crossing routes over the middle. I think the ability of Josh Allen to just be that dude. Like, that guy can extend plays and get outside the pocket. That's the toughest thing for any defense to stop, is a quarterback that can ad lib, because you can't plan for an ad lib. You can plan for a style of play of deep balls or intermediate passes or a running game. You can scheme to stop that, but something that's not planable is an ad lib. It's like when the prompter goes off, man, who knows what the hell I'm going to say on air. Like, get ready, director, to figure it out, because That's kind of how Josh Allen plays.
Yeah. One last thing for you. I'm curious about the coaching staff here. We've got kind of a similar situation in Buffalo here. I mean, McDermott's been here. It's his eighth season now. But defensive-minded coach and similar in Houston with DeMeco Ryans taking over. Bobby Slowick staying put. Like, how big a deal was that? And how are fans already kind of wringing their hands? Because we've been through it here already with Brian Daboll rolled out the door. Dorsey didn't work. We're on to a third guy here in Allen's prime now with Joe Brady. Must be like counting your blessings if you're in Houston that Slowick did not leave this offseason.
A huge blessing to keep Slow. And not only because he's good, but because when you don't have to change your coordinator every year, you don't have to waste your time in the offseason figuring out a new system, figuring out new terminology, getting to know each other, building that trust. Like, the trust is an underrated aspect between an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, because a quarterback can tell the offensive coordinator he's wrong if there's trust, but not be taken personally, or vice versa. You can get coached up because there's trust and there's love and there's a relationship there. And if you can't do that, or you have to, like, reestablish that with somebody, and God forbid it doesn't work, like, good luck. Then you got to start over again the next year. So to keep Slow and have that relationship between the two of them, that offense, it's so critical. And you see that with the best teams throughout the NFL or all throughout sports. So the most continuity at the top have the most success year in and year out.
Does it feel like it's borrowed time, though? I mentioned the Daboll thing. After maybe Allen's second or third year, I got to get the timeline right, but there was a year where we were convinced, oh, Daboll is going to get interviews, he's leaving. And then he didn't, and he stayed one more year and then eventually went off to the Giants. I'm wondering if fans in Houston and maybe even the organization are bracing for Slowick to, you know, well, he stayed behind one extra year, but now, you know, somebody's calling with a huge contract to be a head coach.
You know, DeMeco gave him some really good advice that he shared with us. Don't take a head coaching job just because it's available. You're not that guy. Like, you're going to get another opportunity when you want to call your shot. So make sure that it's the right fit for you. But I think the expectation is Slowick is going to leave here. It's just a matter of when he accepts that job. But the good news is that the quarterback's coach, Gerard Johnson, is in line for an offensive coordinator position. Mm-hmm. He and CJ have a very good relationship. So if Slowick does leave, Gerard can seemingly step right into that role, implement his style as well, but already have that relationship built in with CJ and the rest of the coaching staff and the guys around the roster too.
Excellent. What about the division? Is this just look? You just saw Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee, sort of in the weeds here. I don't know. Is it like a slow, steady crawl toward another division championship here for this team? It seems like the division is pretty weak.
It should be. I mean, despite all the hype around Anthony Richardson, I talked with someone that told me they're glad he's in the division. And you look at him, like, he's not able to stay healthy. He's not a very good quarterback. He's not going to beat you with his arm on 35 throws a game. Like, he can beat you on a throw or two, but he's not going to do it over the course of the game. Trevor Lawrence apparently isn't very good. That team stinks. Doug Peterson's just keeping his head above water right now. And then you see Will Levis, which is Saturday Night Live every Sunday morning. It's just absolutely hilarious to watch, bro. The division stinks. I mean, it's kind of like the Astros, right? Like, the Astros weren't a great baseball team this year, but they won a bad division. That's all you got to do, and here you are.
The Peterson thing, the thing about the players got to, you know, make the plays or whatever the hell he said after that loss in Houston is just, dude, you're going down.
You're right, but
yeah.
Keep it off the podium, my man.
right. That's the quiet part you don't say out loud, dude.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when your team is sitting at 0-4. Oh, good Lord. All right, Will. Thank you. Any questions for me? Anything you need to know about the Bills as they get ready to travel to Houston?
How banged up are you boys? It sounds like you guys are knocked around right now.
Yeah, there's they've been thin with some injuries on defense in particular. I mean, Milano, we knew in the summer, obviously went on IR, and he's hoping to come back at some point much later in the season. then Terrell Bernard goes down. They're on backup safeties, and the nickel corner is the big one. Taron Johnson, their fantastic nickel corner, returned today in a non-contact jersey. He's got a big wrap on a fracture in his forearm. I'm not optimistic he plays. I think they'll get Bernard, their middle linebacker, back for this game, and they certainly missed him. I don't know how much of a difference he makes on Sunday night in Baltimore against Derrick Henry, but he's an excellent player, and I think they should welcome him back. But yeah, they've been dinged on defense, and it finally, you know, one of the stories this week here in town, Will, has been it finally caught up to him.
Yeah, and if the Texans have all three wide receivers, you not having your nickel could be a huge loss, particularly this week.
Yeah, big time. All right, Will, thanks a lot for the time. We appreciate you paying attention to us and the Texans while watching an American League wild card playoff game, man. Thanks a lot for the time. Good luck with your kicking it with Kunkel and everything else you got going on.
Thanks, Bulldog. Appreciate you, bro.
All right. Will Kunkel, Fox 26 in Houston. Yeah, kicking it with Kunkel. Go check it out. Go find him on Twitter and see what's what there. That very good attention to our conversation by Will. The Tigers have taken the lead. Like halfway through that conversation, there was a solo home run by Detroit. And this is a wild card round, so it's, you know, a win and go home here, or well, a loss, excuse me, and go home for Houston. And this guy didn't even, nothing. I was half expecting like a, I gotta go. Something happened in the game. Deal there. Anyway, good deal on that. And yeah, the coordinator staying behind feels a lot like Daboll that year that he didn't leave and then eventually left. I mean, I would expect someone to come calling with a wheelbarrow full of cash for Bobby Slowick. They've had so much success on offense so far with him as their play caller. All right. Time for you again now. You want to refire the conversation about the Bills and Davante Adams and the first great experiment of Allen's career here with this receiving core. We know Adams wants to be traded. We know the Raiders are interested in trading him. Are you interested in the Bills trading with the Raiders for Davante Adams? 803-0550. Lines are wide open right now, so hop on. We'll get you in. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports at 5. We'll get the update on what happened out at One Bills Drive today later on at 6 when Sal Capaccio joins us. But your calls right after this if you're game for it at 803-0550. Mike Shope is out sick today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.